From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The one-time interim chair of the Democratic National Committee, Donna Brazile, has published an exclusive excerpt of her forthcoming book in Politico, and the title says it all, Inside Hillary Clinton's Secret Takeover of the DNC. In it, Brazile revealed that she had discovered an unethical financial agreement between the Hillary Victory Fund and the DNC that went back more than a year before Clinton became the party's nominee. Brazile wrote, quote, "The funding arrangement was not illegal, but it sure looked unethical. If the fight had been fair, one campaign would not have control of the party before the voters had decided which one they wanted to lead. This was not a criminal act, but as I saw it, it compromised the party's integrity," end of quote. The longtime Democratic stalwart had come under scrutiny herself last year when it was revealed that she had improperly shared debate questions ahead of time with Clinton. Brazile stepped down from her position at CNN over that controversy last October. Joining me to help discuss this is Les Leopold, director of the Labor Institute in New York and author of Runaway Inequality, An Activist's Guide to Economic Justice. His earlier books include The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It. Welcome to the program, Les.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
So for a long time last year, the supporters of Bernie Sanders being the other major presidential candidate to be the nominee, were very upset because of what they saw as Clinton's undue influence over the DNC. And there were a lot of accusations of the Democratic National Committee essentially rigging the primary elections in Hillary's favor. We saw emails that were leaked by WikiLeaks from John Podesta, the campaign chair, that seemed to suggest that was true. What does Donna Brazile's revelation to you say as part of this whole story?
Actually, not that much. I'm not particularly impressed by this revelation because the deeper question really is, how were the decisions made to front load the primaries in the South? That's what determined the outcome of the primaries. This memo that she uncovers basically shows a bankrupt Democratic Party, left that way by President Obama, and then Hillary raises money for the Democratic Party. Now, what do we expect her to do? I'm a Sanders supporter, but what do we expect her to do? She's going to raise tens of millions of dollars for the Democratic Party and for the state chapters. And she's not going to want to have any control over how that money is spent. Give me a break. I mean, I come out, my first big political adventure was the 1968 Democratic Party convention, where there was, you know, absolute blood flowing on the streets. That whole campaign was a battle of insurgents against the established Johnson machine, Lyndon Johnson machine. And we expected, we knew that the party would do everything it could to rig the process for its own ends. And anybody going into the a Democratic primary against the Hillary Clinton machine knew that the Democratic Party apparatus was going to be working for her. So that they had a financial agreement, to me, is a great book-selling device, but I don't think tells us much of anything about why the Democratic Party is in such bad shape, and why Sanders couldn't pull off an insurgent victory. He couldn't pull off the victory in large part because the primaries were front-loaded in the South, and Hillary Clinton had an enormous, the Clintons had an enormous advantage with the Democratic Party in those Southern states, which were largely African-American, very loyal to them. Sanders was unknown. And it was very hard for him to break through. Now, had those primaries been at the end, then it would have been a different story. By then, Sanders was known. His message was breaking through, especially with young people. Especially young people of color were coming his way. And he might have been able to upset the machines, you know, like John Lewis and people like that who were basically trying to destroy Sanders. Now, again, let's come in. I mean, we can't look at this retroactively. Sanders came in as an independent social Democrat, and he's taking on the Democratic Party. He's going to shake it up. And then he realizes he has a chance to win as well. But to expect that Hillary was not going to control the Democratic Party is like, you know, you shouldn't be in politics, really, if you expect that people aren't going to exercise the power that they have.
So he won 46% of delegates, which is really close to, you know, being able to snatch the nomination out of Hillary Clinton's hands. And the big question is, did Hillary Clinton's machine, being able to control the finances and the direction of the DNC, mean that she got just enough of an edge that she was able to win a few more delegates than Sanders? And you're saying that no,
saying yes, in the South.
In the South. But I mean, that was more due to the timing of the primaries. Did she control the timing of the primaries through the DNC?
Well, somebody made that decision of when the primaries would take place. Now, that decision, I believe, was made earlier, but that's where the smoking gun is. How did the decision of the lineup of the primaries get made? When was that made? If we knew that, then we could have a clearer discussion about whether this particular memo is the key event. I mean, we have to step back and look at the bigger picture. The Democratic Party is controlled and was definitely controlled then by the neoliberal establishment. The Wall Street corporate Democrats controlled the party. These were their people. Hillary was their candidate. She was them. These are her friends. These are the multimillionaires that make up the party. They're not the billionaires. They're the people who've gotten rich along with the billionaires, like the Clintons themselves. These are the people that are running it. Now, what kind of decisions do you think they're going to make? They're not going to, even under the fairest circumstances, they're not going to support Sanders. Sanders is the enemy. And look at Hillary's book now that came out. She's making Sanders as the enemy. She's making this unbelievable claim that his attack on her Wall Street speeches helped Trump. Now, she took $9 million making these speeches, $675,000 from Goldman Sachs, and she refused to tell us what was in those speeches. That's what got Trump elected. Sanders didn't attack her emails. It's emails that Trump was talking about. The Wall Street stuff was minor, but the fact that she was totally entwined with Wall Street is what cost her. That and her free trade position are her two biggest vulnerabilities. There was nobody including Donna Brazile, nobody in that Democratic Party establishment was challenging the substance of the way this Hillary Clinton campaign was wrapped around the corporate Democrats.
And the other thing, of course, that isn't that Donna Brazile's excerpt didn't refer to, maybe other parts of her book does, was the fact that she was essentially pushed out of CNN when it came to light that she shared questions with Hillary Clinton ahead of a debate. And, you know, in the Politico excerpt that was published inside Hillary Clinton's secret takeover of the DNC, she has a very agonized voice. I mean, she literally used the word that she was agonized, that she wanted to, because the whole piece is around her promising Bernie Sanders in a phone call that she would get to the bottom of whether or not there really was some secret unethical agreement between the DNC and Hillary's campaign. She was agonized about it. But then it was revealed that she herself was helping to rig the campaign by sharing questions with Hillary Clinton ahead of the debate.
Yeah, well,
in March of 2016.
I hate to say this, but we're just helping her sell books. That's what this is about.
I want to quote from her piece.
Give me an example in American history where there's an establishment candidate running for president, where the party is not in their pocket, the party apparatus is not in their pocket. I can't think of an example. How naive can we be to expect that the Democratic Party's apparatus is going to be neutral when their paychecks, they were in debt. Hillary's paying raising the money that pays their weekly paychecks, and we expect them to somehow stay neutral in this? That's ridiculous. What we can hope for is that the election won't be rigged, either in terms of, you know, actual rigging of the polls, or, you know, limiting the amount of time, voter suppression of one form or another. But in this case, the rigging that took place was not illegal votes, but having the Southern primaries come up so early. Well, that's where she got a lead that was impossible virtually to overcome.
Let's talk about why you think Donna Brazile might have done this. I mean, just even the provocative title of her piece, Inside Hillary Clinton's Secret Takeover of the DNC. You know, of course, Trump is tweeting all over the place about wanting the FBI and Justice Department to investigate this, crooked Hillary that. And it seems as though Donna Brazile, I can't imagine that selling books is her primary goal, because after her book tour is done, what is her future with the DNC? Is it possible that she might be seeing the writing on the wall about the Clinton establishment politics being a dead end, or is that too optimistic of me?
Way too optimistic. I've been through four books.
Hopeful, wishful thinking.
Let me tell you, there's real money to be made by Donna Brazile if this book becomes the controversial book of the fall.
And the name of the book is Hacks.
Without question, this is a fundraising stunt by her and her publishers. They've done a good job. They've got us all talking about it. But, you know, it's like saying, you know, it's like the Casablanca film. I'm shocked. There's gambling going on here. I'm shocked that the DNC establishment is going to support the Democratic Party establishment nominee. That's what they do. And we have to recognize that. I think this, you know, Donna Brazile also wants to make money and live a good lifestyle. She lost her money from CNN. Yeah. This is an opportunity for her to kind of become more of her own person. It sets her up a better politically should Sanders type forces become prominent. We'll see where it goes from here. But right now, it's an incredibly good book-selling device, and we shouldn't divert us from the real issue, which is that the Democratic Party, in its soul, is still lined up with the corporate Democrats in Wall Street. It has not renounced that money. Bernie proved one of the most beautiful things that Sanders did was he broke through the Citizen United fatalism, saying, oh, we can't do anything. Corporations, you know, control all of politics. We can't possibly win. He raised as much money as Hillary Clinton, and he did it without Wall Street, without PACs, super PACs, without the corporate Democrats. That's the big lesson from the campaign, which means if we build a movement and it actually means something, and we have a substantial substantive platform, we can actually win. Their money is there from, $27 a head for millions of people across the country. The money is there to float that kind of campaign. Sanders did not win because, one, he came up with something new, or two, he's this tremendously charismatic, you know, guy as opposed to a grumpy old Jewish guy from Brooklyn. He's been saying the same thing for 40 years.
Yeah.
But now it matters. Now people are catching up to what he's been talking about, and he's been on to the lie of runaway inequality, and he's on to the lie that we can't do anything about it. So I think we should concentrate on building the kind of movement that could actually put forth that agenda. Forget about the Democratic Party establishment being fair.
It seems as though they treat progressives in the way that Republicans treat Democrats as a whole. Ruthlessly.
Insurgents. Look, I was in the McCarthy campaign in 1968, and I was in another peace campaign in Connecticut in 1970 for Senate. And I can tell you that the Democratic establishment does all it can to destroy it. That's what they do. And to expect they're going to not do it now because of Donna Brazile's great revelation. Look, I think it's very interesting that Bernie Sanders is not jumping up and down. Why? He's looking ahead. He doesn't want to get into a debate about the last election. He wants to control the terms of debate for the future election. It's obvious to me he still plans on running. He feels he's got a message that he's the most popular politician in the country. That could be the reason Donna Brazile is tying, moving in his direction. He's got the most support in polls of any politician in the country. So now the question is, can we build a movement that actually moves that agenda forward? Can we take on runaway inequality? Can we believe that we can actually do it? And I think we should spend a lot less time worrying about Donna Brazile.
Well, one last time, I felt like one of the most important things that she did say near the end of her piece that was published was when she had a conversation with Bernie Sanders about Hillary's chances against Trump. And she said, she wrote, "The polls were unanimous in her winning, but what he wanted to know was my own assessment." And Brazile wrote, "I had to be frank with him. I did not trust the polls," I said. "I told him I had visited states around the country, and I found a lack of enthusiasm for her everywhere. I was concerned about the Obama coalition and about millennials." And then, of course, she went on to say how she basically urged Bernie to throw his support behind Hillary as much as possible. And he did, to his credit, but they still blame him for not being enthusiastic enough or for somehow being the reason why she lost against the most unpopular candidate in recent history. So you think Bernie Sanders is going to run again? That's a really interesting question. He and Elizabeth Warren have been making the rounds of social media, taking a look at the tax bill. But then there are other establishment candidates as well that are being touted by the Democratic Party. What do you make of them? I mean, I don't know how establishment Kamala Harris is, for example. Some think she's very progressive. Others think she's quite establishment. Do you have any opinion on whether we're going to see yet another internal Democratic Party fight between progressives and the establishment?
Well, I think it's going to be a wide open contest. And I know this, that when someone gets travels and gets 20,000 people yelling and screaming about what they're saying, they don't give that up. So if Sanders' health maintains, if he's able to hang on to his health and he can show the same vigor that he's showing now, he's not going to, it's a narcotic. To get that, I mean, the whole thing you've been working for your entire life, you see it as possible. He's not going to walk away from that. I mean, the other candidates, I don't know how Kamala Harris would do. I do know that Sanders would blow away most of the rest of the field, but that's not going to stop it from being a contested primary. Yeah. So I think it'll be a pretty wide open. Event and I think or a series of events, and if Sanders is in it, he's the front runner. I mean, the real question is whether Hillary's going to feel like it's her due.
Oh boy!
I think Sanders would win. The primaries if his health is there.
Well, anyway, we are 3 years away from the next election, next presidential election. Anyway, Les, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Les Leopold, director of the Labor Institute in New York, author of Runaway Inequality, and an activist guide to economic justice. His earlier books include The Looting of America. We've been discussing Donna Brazile's explosive article in Politico, excerpted from her forthcoming book. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.